Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears. Hello, who are you?
I'm Evelyn Rogers, who are you?
I'm Scott Rogers, your father.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Well, now you do, and now you know why this is called Fillory and Father.
A podcast about the magicians and magicians-related things.
Wow, that was almost professional.
I know, it almost sounded like we planned it. today we're watching Season 2, Episode 12 of The Magicians, called Ramifications, which is a pun.
Directed by Chris Fisher.
Which you looked up before this.
Don't out me. How dare you?
Well, you just missed it because you're too busy on your phone.
I was too busy talking to somebody.
But yeah, it's Ramifications.
All right. So that's it.
That's it.
Good
that's
episode. Yay, we did it.
No, the show starts with Quentin and Julia talking to Mayakovsky, asking him to help them bring Alice back to life. No one's ever done this before, but now that Quentin has Alice's shade, once they went to the underworld, he finally has that last bit of data he can use to, you know, bring her back to life, and he has everything written out, ready to go, the whole spell, but it's just convincing Mayakovsky, and it turns out that he has a magical battery that is the biggest one they've ever seen that, you know, would probably have enough juice for them to complete such a strong spell.
Right. But Mayakovsky thinks that if they try to do it, what will happen?
That's great. That sounds wonderful, Dad.
Mayakovsky gurgles, says that nobody has ever survived trying to bring a Niffin back to life or whatever.
And he says, you know, Quentin is making this speech about why they should bring Alice back. And Mayakovsky says, you know, you talk like life means something. And Quentin says, well, if it doesn't, then what's the point? You know, you essentially caused this whole chain reaction of you fucked Emily Greenstreet and then... she fucked over her face, and then, you know, Charlie died trying to help her, and then Alice came to Break Bills to go find Charlie, and he turned into a Niffin, and then Alice turned into a Niffin. So, through this whole line of consequence, he is partially, in a way, responsible for what happened.
Yeah, he kicked it off.
Yeah, and so Quentin shames him, and it's wonderful. And yes, he's like, you have to do something.
It's nice to see Quentin with a spine.
It's wonderful. This episode, Quentin, like, shames a whole bunch of people, and it's just great.
Yeah, he steps up.
Yeah, so Mayakovsky is like, oh, damn, I feel awful now.
Blah, blah,
so
blah,
I'll do
feelings.
It. Yeah, blah, blah, so blah. They create this, like, cage and spell area to
All
bring
right.
back the Niffin and the shade.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question.
The cage the Niffin, so
why,
she doesn't get out.
Why is every set design for some sort of magical contrivance some sort of loosely constructed box?
Because a box is the easiest shape to make.
Is it? Now, what about a arch?
An arch? No, that takes a while.
All right. What about a trapezoid?
That takes a while.
All right. But everything's a box, right? The
Niffin your, box.
Your Niffin box, your the other
the
box.
The Tesla Fletcher is not really a box.
It's a box. It's like a tent.
It's a tent, but it's more circular.
The other one where they were doing the...
When they're in the cages and the clean room.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Pick another shape, will you? Pick another shape other than a box.
A boot.
A boot?
Boot shape.
Like the boot of a car?
No, like the boot of like a shoe.
Like Italy?
Yeah.
The shape of Italy as a boot? How would that work, though?
You slide them in, and then they're stuck inside the little toe.
You just want a slide in this show.
Yes, I want a slide. I want the underworld slide, but we're never going to see it.
There should have been at least one scene where they were just hanging out on a playground. And
they were. There was.
Quentin
Remember,
just
Alice
slides
went to the playground.
Down.
Alice went to the playground and murdered that Lamoury.
Right. They should have had Quentin slide down the slide, but kind of ooch his way down.
Yeah, that's what happens in the book, Dad.
I'm saying, though, out of respect for the book, they should have done that scene.
But they don't respect the book, so why would they do that?
All right. So then they cast...
Quentin reaches inside Julia and pulls out Alice...
Baby
her
Alice.
Shade. Yeah. I was thinking, like, who did the Foley for that?
Mayakovsky did.
No, what, like, Foley artist squeezed a fruit or a ripe pear or something?
Have you ever done Foley before?
I have.
Yeah, what did you do?
It was forever ago. I don't actually, I think I just made like footstep noises.
Yeah. When I was in college, I had an internship with a sound effects group in LA, and they were doing dubs for some Jackie Chan movie. I forget which one it was. And I got to take a baseball bat and beat on a side of beef in order to make punching sounds. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
It was awesome.
Foley is a great art.
Yeah, they had a whole thing. They had like a gravel pit that you could walk on.
Yeah, with different wooden squares.
Yeah, different squares for different sounds. It was great.
Yeah.
Super cool.
But they start to cast a spell. They get Alice's shade, and then they summon Niffin Alice, and she comes in this huge burst of flame, and it looked awesome.
It did look cool.
And then she's just like basically feral, yelling and screaming. And she's like, "I'm gonna fucking burn you alive, Quentin."
And then they start wiggling, and they wiggle together.
Mayakovsky does the spell, and it creates all this smoke. Matter.
Yeah.
And then Quentin does the last bit of it, and it gathers all of it in. You know,
the wiggles them together.
Wiggles them together.
So baby Alice and Niffin Alice wiggle together, and they wiggle so hard that all of Alice's clothes wiggles off.
Yes.
And so there she is, butt naked, back to human, and pissed off.
Yep.
Alice not happy.
Yeah. Okay. So, Alice coming. Niffin Alice and that whole subsequent sequence is like one of my favorite scenes in the book.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I just personally enjoy the book
version more.
It's in the third one.
Oh, the one I haven't read yet?
The one you haven't read yet.
Are you going to spoil something for me?
You already know I've spoiled many things. You asked me about the plot when I
try not to pay attention to what you say.
Okay, well then you can just tune me out while I talk about
it. All right, I'll be over here on my phone.
No. But in the third book, you know, Quentin brings Alice back and... It's this really, like, there's this really cool description of, like, what happens. And they do it a little bit in the show with, like, the particles and stuff. But, like, you can really, like, feel, like, in the book, you can really, like, feel that, like, she's coming together. And it's this reversal process where the atoms are, and the molecules are stitching themselves back together. And it's taking all of this energy and it has to be done in a super short period of time because, you know... He's got her in his back and she's like killing him immediately because there's so much power in a Niffin, and it's like this really awesome scene. And then it's like, Quentin says some Latin, you know, Mayakovsky says some Russian or whatever, and then they just
Wiggled.
They wiggled, but it's not like, you know, but because the mechanism is different because they have to put her shade back in and blah blah, versus in the book they don't have that.
So you'd rather the scene be that Lev Grossman steps onto the stage
and
just does a reading from his book for 5 minutes while everybody's just standing around looking at
him. You know what? It's fine by me.
All right. Well.
I just really love that scene and it's really cool.
I felt bad though for that scene.
For who?
For poor little Alice girl.
Because she no longer has
no
a
more
job.
Work. Yeah, she was probably all excited to be on the show. She was in what, one whole other episode?
Yeah.
So only a day and a half's worth of work or so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, it's tough to be an actor.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a little kid.
Then we see Alice and Quentin. She's staring at herself in the mirror, kind of observing herself, not really talking. And Quentin's.
Oh, she's not happy.
Yeah, she's not happy. And she's like, why? And he's like, why do you need bland food? Because, you know, you don't want to eat something spicy and die. And he's like, or why did I bring you back? And
she's like, you know why.
Well, he says, I couldn't leave you like that. And she says, fuck you. Right. And poor Quentin.
Well, of course.
Poor Alice. Well, they're both having a time.
Yeah, they are.
Will
they ever be friends again? I think Quentin should have just found another girlfriend, personally.
Or a boyfriend.
I mean, Alice is pretty and smart and, you know, interesting, but...
I feel...
A lot of effort.
Listen, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I am firmly team platonic Qualis. They work best when they're friends and just friends. Mm-hmm. They both want each other in their lives, but they don't know how to operate... within the realm of just being friends, because they've never had the opportunity to just have a platonic relationship.
Right.
They've always been throwing themselves at each other because they're like, well, this is what is conventional and what, you know, is what is typical. And so, of course, we have to get back together if we want to have each other in our lives.
Sure.
You know, instead of just saying, hey, why don't we just work on our relationship as people since we never really got to know each other that much? We dated for like 6 months and then broke up and then I died and so on and so forth.
All right, Sev, you just gave me a great idea for a new segment.
Another spinoff?
No, a segment, and that is this. So, A, have you ever been in a situation where you've had the hots for somebody, but you know that that relationship will never happen? Like, they're not interested in you?
Yes.
Okay. So, what advice, because I've been in that situation also, where there's somebody that I've been in, want to have a relationship with, but they're not interested. What advice do you have for our listeners that might be in a similar situation?
No one wants my advice.
Yeah, sure. Why not? You're smart. What advice do you have for somebody who might be in a relationship?
In this scenario where they've brought back their dead ex-girlfriend.
No, not where you bring back
who's
your...
been torturing them in their brain.
No, if you have somebody that you think that you have strong emotional feelings for, you want to have a relationship, but that relationship just doesn't work. What advice can you give to those people to have each other still in their lives, but not have the pressure of that sexual attraction or something else on them?
I mean, if it were me, I would just be honest and like be like, hey, I want you in my life. And, you know, that's not necessarily in a sexual capacity.
Right.
I mean,
and
yeah.
Then have you had that happen before?
Where I've just been friends with someone?
Well, you've told them that.
Sure.
And what was the response?
It was fine.
They were fine. So are you still friends with that person?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. See, so it works.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Okay.
All right. Well, hopefully somebody out there can use that advice. Thank you.
Okay. So then we see some Cheerios.
Ugh. Yeah. Cheerios.
And we see Penny and Sylvia, and they've been changing the guard on the poison room in the library, so they can't get in. But Sylvia knows about the back door, which is where you go through the fountain.
Oh, the back door to the super toxic room. That makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like having a back door to a bank vault.
Yeah.
Let's make a bank vault, a super secure room to hide something that we don't want people to get to. Oh, but let's put a back door in it.
You know, for spice.
No, not for spice. Bad design. I wouldn't design it that way in a video game. Okay. I wouldn't design it that way in a story.
Okay.
It's a cheapo. They should have instead come up with some other way to get into
it. But they want to.
That wasn't a back room.
But they want to justify killing off Penny so then they can replace him with his blander counterpart.
All right.
And just...
Yeah, they don't know what to do with Penny.
Just
because, you know what the problem
is. They're
like,
he's too cool in the books and he never shows up.
He's not cool in the books. He barely shows up in the books.
I know, but...
No, the problem
like
is,
cool
I think, is Arjun
book.
Is too cool.
Arjun is awesome
he's
and
too
a great
cool
actor.
Of a character
and, like,
and an actor,
oh no,
right.
What
do we
do
with
him?
This guy? Well, we can't chop off his hands and have him run around with no hands off for
we
the rest
did
of
that,
the day.
We
can't
know?
Put him on we can't put him on one of those hoverboards. And have him cruising
they
around.
They should have had him on a hoverboard.
Cruising around like they're in the books.
Yeah.
And we can't have him live in a trailer for a year reading magic books.
Yeah.
Right?
Mean.
Right? Because, I mean, does... All right, I'll ask you a question. You'll spoil
yes.
it. Does Penny show up in the third book?
Yes, he does.
Does he have a bigger part?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay.
Sort
so,
of. He's still
And have they
a...
taken anything from that plot line yet in what we've seen in the show?
Yes, yeah, sort of.
Sort of.
Sort of. Well, the library in
so,
the order is basically Penny's storyline in
right.
the books.
So technically what you're saying is...
But he becomes...
The TV show at this point has used up every bit of...
No, they've underutilized and explored all of the wrong aspects of what makes the library and the order cool. Like, Penny ends up being, like, really super fucking awesome and, like, high level and shit in the library. And,
like head librarian?
Yeah. And he doesn't in this. He doesn't at all. And you know, they could have had that be his storyline.
But they like Zelda too much.
They like the fascist too much. And, you know, that's trend.
No, they like Zelda too much.
Yes, I said what I said, Dad. And you know, it's just frustrating because Penny could have had a really cool storyline where he like took control of the library and became that like powerful figurehead and
right.
and became like the controller of
and
it
then
and
he
stuff.
He could have opened a children's library.
Yeah, I mean that would be cool.
With like him reading books to
yeah!
kids on the weekend.
Oh my god, I would literally that would be wonderful. Because Arjun acting with kids is like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
He's so sweet and nice to them, so it's like 10 out of 10. We love it. Anyway, I'm just saying that, like...
So we finally get in the poison room.
Yeah. Well, they're gonna go. And then we see Quentin is brooding. He's kind of, like, staring out of the window of Brickville South, being sad. All of a sudden, Elliot shows up.
Yeah, how did Elliot show up?
Well, remember, he got banished. So then he just presumably he found out where they went. He just went home. He appeared in the physical kid's cottage, and then he probably found out where Quentin was.
Yeah.
But he appears, and he's like, hey, so, button, who's got the button? Give me the button. I gotta go back to Fillory because I got banished, just like the Chatwin kids did when they were, you know, visiting all the time. And Quentin's like, yeah, so we traded that to a dragon.
Yes, and there was an excellent Trogdor reference.
Uh-huh.
Very good.
But Elliot is like, you know, my adventure's just begun. My pregnant wife has been kidnapped by fairies, and my kingdom is, you know, about to be toppled, and all this other bad shit is happening. Like, I guess I'm just a fuck up, because why else would they banish me?
Right.
You know?
Aww,
it sucks. So then we get to see Whitespire, and John...
Wait, you missed the funny bit.
What's the funny bit?
Which was Elliot was standing there, and all of a sudden Grumpy Ellis, Alice walks by.
Yeah, and he's like...
And he just kind of is like, okay, now she's alive. Like, yeah. Like, no words, just some very good silent acting from both... Well, all three of them, right?
Yeah.
They're good. They're all in good form this episode, actually.
Yeah, it's some good
They all
good
did some
acting.
Good acting.
Some tasty
Good job.
Acting.
Good job from everybody, actually.
Well, we
Lots of good acting from everybody this episode.
To Whitespire.
Right.
And the only child... the only child of Earth left there is Josh. So he becomes de facto High King.
Yes.
So
he immediately gets stoned.
Well, yeah. Benedict and Rafe and Tick are all there. And they're like,
stoned.
Listen to all these... The you know, the mountains are missing and half the court is still rats, and you know, all the beavers need dental insurance now. Like, what's up with that? And so he's like, you listen, guys, back on my world, a mighty king used to say Hakuna Matata. It means no worries, so we're just not gonna fucking deal with it. Erase the mountains, give those beavers braces, who fucking cares? And he destroys the all the thrones, all the cursed thrones, and makes his own. And they just, you know, they get high, have fun.
And they cook a giant pig.
Yeah, they have a giant spit roast.
Good job spinning.
Yeah. And then we go back to the physical kids' cottage where Julia and Katie, they're back again, best bitches. Julia says, you know, hey, I had my shade, then I lost it again. Oopsies. But I need someone who can be, like, my moral compass, basically. I have a chip missing, and I want you to be that chip. Tell me when to tap on the brakes. And Katie's like, you mean slam on the brakes? And she's like, yeah, slam on the brakes. And Senator Gaines comes in, and he says, you know, I found out that maybe Reynard and OLU were lovers, and he, like, fucking hates her, and that's why he's been raping and murdering and pillaging and all this stuff. It's to get back at her. And so he's like, I want to kill Reynard. Please let me help in any way possible. and so Julia's like, okay, we're going to teach you magic. Thanks for that adjustment in your seat,
Dad. I don't even know if anybody could hear that.
Well, I can hear it. So then
maybe we should cut this part out.
No. So then we see Elliot and Quentin. And Quentin's been banned from seeing Alice because he's upsetting her. Because he's constantly checking up on her.
So they both melt.
Yeah, well, they both slide down in their chairs because they're upset.
There's nothing else they can do.
And Elliot says, you know, I know it's hard right now, but it's going to be okay, I think. Now, tell me what we can do. What did the dragon say in order to get back to Fillory? So Quentin says, you know, the dragon said that the first portal would still be open. I thought it would be Stonehenge because the kids go there in book three, but then... You know.
No, of course the first. I mean, Quentin, come on.
I know. He's
That's dumb.
He's smarter, boy.
It's the clock. Everybody knows it's the clock.
And Quentin's like, wait a second. I saw that clock when I went to my Yale.
To that dead guy's house.
When I went to my Yale interview. So it probably got sold when he died. So they go to track down the Fillory clock.
And they do it through a montage.
eBay.
Right. No, there's no montage.
So
perfectly good wasted opportunity for a montage.
To Google shit.
Have them just Googling and eBaying.
So then we see Josh, and he's awoken by Margot, who's like semi-transparent.
She's a force ghost.
She's a force ghost, but she's not blue. And she's, you know, still in the fairy realm trying to find Fen, and Josh had accidentally smoked Sea into Other Worlds instead of Fuck Like Pandas. So he can see Margot. So she tells him to find Rafe, who, you know...
Are pandas good lovers?
I mean, clearly not, because they're
like,
going
what
extinct.
Is, but what is like? What does it mean to like fuck like a panda?
I guess lovingly.
Wouldn't it be like fuck like rabbits?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, but rabbits do it a lot, right? Often. Yeah. So if pandas don't do it very often, I don't get it. It's a weird analogy.
It was weird.
It's a bad analogy.
It's bad. But Josh goes to find Rafe. And then we see Sylvia and Penny in the Netherlands. And the back door to the poison room is this fountain that has, like, a stack of books. But it's completely covered up and, like, locked. Like, there's iron doors all over the fountain to keep them from getting in.
Right. Do you think that fountain was a... Do you think they just keep using the same fountain set?
Of course they
use
the same fountain set.
But did they make new fountain things for it?
Of course they did. They just made switchable statues and stuff.
But did they have, like... all those locks that were on it, were those digital, do you think? Like, because they spun around.
I think it was a combination of practical and digital, Dad, because that's what people do.
That's what people do nowadays.
That's what people do.
All right.
But Sylvia says...
How many fountain things do you think there are? And what happened to all those?
There's thousands of them.
What happened to all those fountain pieces?
Well, in the books, or... Oh, you mean the actual props?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, all those statues.
I was, like, ready to go.
Like, who has all those statues?
I don't know. I mean, they got sold in the auction.
But who buys a statue? Like, that's a big statue.
People buy statues.
Those big? That big?
I mean, they sold the carriage.
How would you ship it?
They tried to sell the carriage.
Do they box it up?
Well, they couldn't ship them because you weren't allowed to send stuff because there's a panoramic right now.
Right, but what about, is it like local pickup only?
Mm-hmm.
We'll pick up, we'll sell fillery.
That's literally what it was.
Carriage. Where are they? In Vancouver? That's
Vancouver.
Where it is? So do you think that there's somebody in Vancouver that lives there that has a bunch of filler-related things?
I know for sure.
Yeah, why?
Because my friend Elle is one of those people.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because we saw them in this episode.
Oh, that too.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was waiting to get to that part.
All right.
But Sylvia knows how to unlock the locks that are on there, so she does that.
But she first does a... Terminator reference.
Yeah, she does a Terminator reference.
There's a very high nerd quotient in this episode. I think the writers were very proud of themselves of how many times they have a Lion King reference, a Trogdor reference, and a Terminator reference.
Uh-huh.
And plus a few more later on.
Well, Penny says, why do you want to go into the poison room? Like,
to get poisoned!
Well, he's like, why, like, who, like, what big bad is after you? Because, you know, you're here in, like, asylum and witness protection.
Right.
And she's like, well, I want to read my own book because... all the librarians are talking about this great blank spot where there are 20 blank pages in every book in the whole of the library.
Mm. You know what that blank spot is?
It's when magic goes away.
No.
That's what it is.
No.
What?
It's 2020.
Oh, okay.
That's the great blank
but
spot.
This takes
everybody
place in 2017 right now.
No, that's in the future. They're pages ahead.
No, but then the blank spot happens during 2018.
But no, wait a second now. Okay, let me ask you a question.
No, I know.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Yes.
The books are... Your book of your life is already written?
No, it...
Writes as you go, right?
It writes as you go,
so,
sort of.
So, since magic hadn't gone away yet...
Well, no, it's, like, completely written.
Isn't the great blank spot just the rest of the book that hasn't been filled in yet?
Yeah.
So, really, them librarians are dumb. Is really what it is.
Yeah.
They're like, how come the end of this unwritten book is not written?
Yeah, well...
Duh.
Well... but they, Sylvia's like, Penny's like, well, how are you going to get in? Because I can only travel myself. And she's like, this isn't my first time,
breaking into
fountain
a room full
spelunking.
Of pirating. Pirating books. Pirating, poisoning books.
Yeah.
Poison, going into the poison room. Do you think she's gone into the poison room before?
No, because you would die.
Is it instant death?
No, but
you can survive a poisoning. Yeah, I mean, there have been people that have survived poisoning.
In Mulvaney.
What's that?
In Mulvaney.
Oh, I thought you said John Mulaney.
No!
John Mulaney survived
poisoning.
Has he
been poisoned?
I don't know, has he?
I don't know, maybe.
No, I was thinking about that guy in Russia.
That's who I said.
What'd you say?
Mulvaney.
Oh, Mulvaney. I thought you said John Mulaney.
Okay, this is... Okay.
All right, anyway, that guy,
but,
and then there's that other guy.
No, stop.
That guy that got poisoned that they based Emperor Palpatine based on.
Okay.
In Revenge of the Sith, when
Return of the King.
No, in Revenge of the Sith, when he gets zapped by Mace Windu,
uh-huh.
And then he comes in and says,
"This is not a
the Jedi." Oh, oh but yeah. It is. The Jedi have not poisoned me, but the Jedi have made me look like
no
the
more
Emperor.
Of this.
Then that's based on that other Russian guy who got poisoned. There was another handsome boy Russian.
Okay.
politician who got poisoned probably by Putin and those creeps. And it made him look like the emperor. Speaking of which, today's episode is brought to you by poison. Try all 12 delicious flavors. What, rat? And what else? Ivy? And what are some other flavors of poison? Sumac? And cherry. Because everybody knows that artificial cherry flavoring is poison. Tastes terrible. Has there ever been a good cherry tasting medicine?
No.
It's all disgusting, right? Well, how about real cherries? Do you like real cherries?
Yes.
And do you like candy cherry?
Yeah.
Nah, see, candy cherry's not good.
Okay, no more.
What about maraschino cherries?
Yes, of course.
Maraschino cherries
are
delicious.
No more of this.
All right, so that's poison. Don't try it, buy it.
No.
Poison.
Bad for the environment.
No, it happens in the environment. Poison is a naturally occurring substance. It's all natural. It is all natural. No. All right, there we go. Okay. That's our don't use it in your burritos. That is the message.
But
for today.
Sylvia says, I think, you can change stuff in your book because I saw your book get reshelved 39 times to Penny. And so they go into the poison
room. Wait a second, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
This gets into my whole multiverse library theory again. All right. So if
multiverse underworld.
No, multiple libraries. There should be multiple copies of Penny's life. If the book exists on his life, there should be 39 volumes of Penny's life, not 39 times reshelved. Because it's not like the library is a bunch of monk illuminators who are rewriting the book or thing like that. The book, I guess, just gets magically written, right?
Yeah.
So, whatever. Some sort of forces of the universe writing the book.
Well, it's actually Olivia Taylor Dudley in a wig.
What?
Writing the books.
What do you mean?
I mean, that's what it is.
But how can one person write all these books?
Because she's like Cassandra, and then they did a spell that makes it mass-produced. Before, it used to just be her writing, and then with magic is gone, it's just her.
Job.
And then Penny's like, why does she look like Alice? And they're like, what are you talking about? It doesn't look like Alice. And it's literally just
what episode is that one in?
It's like episode 7.
In season
3.
3. All bangers.
All bangers. All right. It's great.
Anyway, so all right, I get that. That's like Ariadne or whatever. Who's
Cassandra.
Cassandra. No, Cassandra's, I thought, was the one who could tell the future.
And that's why she can write the books.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. All right, anyway.
Ariadne turned into a spider dad.
Well, but she wove.
Yeah, that's why she turned into a spider.
Yeah, she wove a book.
No.
Isn't that how you make books?
Continue
with spiders?
Asking your thing or whatever.
I'm doing it wrong. Anyway, so my question is, there should be 39 copies of Penny's books.
I agree.
And why aren't there? The whole idea of it reshelving, that just means like it got checked out. It got checked. No, it's the wrong, I think it's the wrong book. And then, I mean, the wrong phrase, because then which version of Penny's book should he steal?
That's a good question.
Is there like a volume 39 or 40 that's in process?
I wish.
And then wouldn't you want to go back and read all your other 39 copies to see how you died?
I wish.
And then you could avoid. And
he doesn't die.
It'd be interesting to like read them concurrently.
I would love to.
Line up and see where you screwed up. So in your life, you could, when the next time you could find out.
But they all got killed by the beast. So.
Right.
Pretty short.
Well, no, not that short.
They're not little zines.
They lived till they were college. Then? You're in college, right? About now is when you would get killed by the beast.
No, because they're in post.
You're in postgraduate work.
Postgrad. So you still have an undergrad.
You still have 3 more years before you get killed by the beast.
Yes.
All right. In this alternative.
So
here's the thing. In your timeline, you still have 20 some odd years. So let's say a chapter.
I'm gonna die when I'm like.
I meant that your book would have only 20 some odd chapters in it.
Okay.
Because you're almost 20.
I am.
Right. And now the other question is, are the chapters broken up by years or are they by events?
I don't know.
Right? Because you could have like a very long chapter on a very short period of your life.
Well, to my understanding, it's novelized somewhat, so it's kind of like in the Silmarillion, the Silmarillion is presented as a history of Middle Earth,
right?
And it is presented and published sort of in the format of a textbook.
Right.
So you have all these smaller stories within the different ages, and Christopher Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien's son, took all the notes and put them all together and made this kind of textbook, essentially, of all the lore, early lore of Middle Earth. But then they created novelizations of stories from the Silmarillion. And so those stories were already partially written to a degree, but you didn't have, like, it wasn't 100% dramatized. You know, maybe they glossed over some more stuff, maybe they skipped some stuff, but it was in the notes, and so on. So, in the novelizations, they take those stories and they expand with the pre-existing material they already had, and so on. So that's kind of, like, what the
right.
books are.
But if you were writing a book about an individual's life...
Yeah, the book is... so like
not a history of like the world.
Yeah, so instead of like a history of the world, it would be like Nani Chin Hurin. It would be like the Children of Hurin, where you have this novelization of Turin Bar's life.
Right. But like would the all right, so let's say I went and got my book out of the library.
Yes.
And I read, would it be like the first chapter covers like
Scott Rogers was born on
blah, blah, blah,
a cloudy
blah, blah, blah.
Day and
no,
blah,
it wasn't
blah,
cloudy,
blah.
It was sunny because
okay.
it was June.
Okay, so, so it's June gloom though.
Well, maybe I don't know. I'd have to go back and check the almanac. that's a good question though. What was the weather like when I was born? Anyway, so I would assume that like the first chapter would be like kind of summarizing my youth. I mean, it would talk about important events like how I appeared naked in a psychology magazine and you know, my appearing on a billboard and you know, things like important,
hear about your child
important events like, you know, that birthday party with the weird clown.
Okay.
And me
no
seeing Batman on TV for the first time.
Okay.
Right. So it would kind of gloss over like the first few years. And then it'd be like, all right, maybe chapter two is like, all right, then his family moved and now we're in Escondido where I grew up and there's some stuff about that child. But then would like it start to slow
just,
down
and
like
it's just the chapter and it's like
right chapter two chapter two is like this childhood stuff, right? But then like would it slow down, like would it say all right, you
all
know now I'm working in video games, and it would start to go into more
all
detail about things that happened.
All I know is that
or I worked for Disney and it went covered that, you know, those years as its own chapter or a series of chapters.
Okay, all I know is that in season four,
right.
Alice reads Quentin's book.
Right.
And
how long does it take her?
Not that long, apparently.
Is she a fast reader?
She's a fast reader. And she finds out that Quentin's gonna die, and so she goes and tells him, and she quotes the book to him.
Right.
And the, like, the description of the events is literally, like, so-and-so said, blah, 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 and then the monster came to him and killed him, so ends the tale, Quentin Coldwater, whatever.
But that's not a lot of description. That's lousy writing.
Yeah, it's not great. And it's like, she's like, he... It's
be a little
a,
more descriptive,
story,
at least,
in
does he get his head ripped off
in
or
Quentin's
something.
Book, it says, like, he got distracted by someone walking by and then the monster came upon him, blah blah, and that's how it ends. And then Alice is like, we need to change it and
we need
so
to,
you don't
you
die
not get distracted.
Wah, wah. I guess, you know, they just fucked up the she just all misread right. it whatever because he didn't die in 2 days, he died in like 2 weeks instead.
Well, you know what is time
is an illusion
or lunchtime doubly so.
Okay. But anyway, so like this, it's novelized, you know, and dramatized.
So it's
to
a summation.
Degree. Yeah, essentially.
Okay.
But they're in the poison room, Sylvia and Penny, and they're coughing up a storm. And I'm like, bro, wear a mask. Wear a mask.
Yeah, why didn't they just like put on gas masks?
Stop inhaling.
If you wear a gas mask in the poison room, does that protect you?
I don't know.
Do you make like if you make like an air bubble around your head?
No, because there's radiation and there's also like the spores.
Right, but you could like put a bubble around your head to keep from breathing the
like in
spore.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Then you could put on a radiation suit.
Yeah.
And you could protect yourself like in Star Trek.
But I think it's like magic, so.
No, that's bullshit. Because everything else in the show, they go through great pains to describe. Yes, I see. They go through great pains to describe what it is. And yet here, then they just cop out and go, well, it's magic poison.
Yep.
Boo.
But then we see Senator Gaines. He goes back to his office and Reynard is there. And he's like, oh, I got you a little gift. Because I'm your daddy, and he gives him a little gift, and it's his wife's ear, and he's
yeah.
like, aren't you glad it's the biggest piece of her I could save?
Yeah, but they missed out on a really good opportunity for a joke.
What?
Reynard should have given him the package and said, I heard it was your birthday.
Oh!
And then he opens it up and it's an ear.
No!
Right? All right? Wouldn't that be better?
Yeah. All right. But then Reynard's like, yeah, I broke Julia. She's never going to be able to go back to who she was. Ha ha, fuck you. You're going to come to my side.
It's Can I ask you a question great. About Reynard?
Reynard. Reynard.
Rainier. Mount Rainier. Can I ask you about Reynard? Why does he have orange eyes?
Because he's a fox.
No, foxes don't have orange eyes.
But foxes, but...
Foxes have, like, green eyes.
But orange is...
Or brown eyes.
Orange is a color associated with foxes.
He already has red hair.
Well, that's just because...
Orange hair.
That's what the actor looks like.
They should have given pointy ears, like Mr. Spock. That's
like
what
Spock.
I think.
Just because we've been watching Star Trek.
No, I think that he would have looked more fox-like. Maybe even a little black nose.
No,
little tufts of white. And then he could look like Robin Hood.
No.
Right? How cool would that have been if he looked like an actual fox?
I think if he had looked
and
like
an actual... And a tuxedo, like a fox in a tuxedo.
Daddy, that's what his description is in the book.
Is it really?
Did you not pay attention?
He's I don't remember.
It's literally like fox head, human body.
So yeah, how cool
it's
would
awesome.
Have that been?
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, why wouldn't they do that?
It's the budget,
give
man.
Give him a rubber mask, then.
No, it's the
like,
budget.
No, there's those masks you can get at Spirit that you can talk and like the mouths and the nose move and stuff, right?
Anyway,
they could have bought one of those. That would have worked.
Anyway.
I mean, it would have fit the level of some of the effects they've had in the show.
Anyway, Quentin and Elliot go to Vancouver.
Yes.
Because they're filming there. So.
Yes, that's... It's very convenient.
And they knock on the door of this person's house and they're like, hey, we found this. Elliot's like, this was my great grandfather's clock. I want it back in the family. It got sold when he died.
It's a good lie.
And he's like, you know, they don't give the address on auction websites. And he's like, oh, fuck. But,
he just said we hired a private detective to track
you
down.
Well, the guy who answers the door is like, oh, I don't want to let you in. But then Quentin sees that he has Fillory merch on as well. So he quotes, the quote from Fillory books. I didn't write
down
all.
No,
of
don't
it.
Write down the whole.
No, but
he quotes something
about
the clock.
In the place of, he says basically about Martin, in place of a mechanical heart, he found a new world. And he's like, and the man's like, oh, that was always my favorite quote from the book. Like, come inside. And, Quentin's like, cause you know, you
they
also
should have showed
Fillory.
More shots of that Fillory merch.
I
they put through,
listen,
they went through all that effort
in
to make
honor
really
of,
cool looking
I know.
Thing, props, right? They had plates and they had a doll.
They
and
had a
had
little,
script.
They had a little Jane Barbie. They had, statues.
Yeah.
They
should have.
They had a tin lunchbox.
Yeah, they should have lingered a
it
little
so
bit
cool.
more.
It was so cool. Those I almost bought those commemorative.
Are those
plates.
Things like? Are they actually like? Did they go through the effort and make them?
Yes.
Look, like really nice.
Yeah, dude. I
Man,
almost
that's a
got.
Waste. They
I
didn't
almost
show
got
any of
the
them.
Commemorative plate. But
why
then
didn't
I,
you get it?
Because someone outbid us.
Oh, that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
You should always have more money. That's the number one rule of collecting.
I wish.
Well, maybe, all right, so maybe
no, no,
if we
listen.
Had some Patreon
no,
supporters
we don't have a Patreon.
For this show, maybe we should have a Patreon.
No, listen.
What about you
honor,
make your own damn commemorative plates?
Shut up, I'm actually maybe going to do that. That's
okay.
The plan.
Oh, that would be cool. Who would buy
any,
commemorative
no,
plates?
No,
raise your hand.
No, anyway, would. In honor of this episode, speaking of auctions, I am wearing the tie that Elliot wears.
Yes, I see. You're fondling that tie.
Shut up.
Nervously. Here, let me feel it. It's very.
It's just a tie.
It is just a tie.
It's
not
tie,
even
dude.
Silky or anything. But this is the tie
it's
that.
The actual tie.
This
from
is
the, show.
The tie that Hale Appelman had around his neck. So your neck has the same neck grease on it as Hale
Ew,
Appelman.
Ew! That's disgusting.
Well,
I hate you.
Would they have washed it after he used it?
This is literally a. It's literally they have multiples, Dad.
Of this tie, no. I would
yeah.
wager they just have one of that tie.
No, they had multiples.
But that was the tie.
Anyway,
here, let me look. Is there a stain
no,
or something on it?
No, shut the fuck up! Oh my god!
Alright.
Anyway, you know...
So they find out that
the nerd shows Quentin the American, like,
pilot.
An adaptation of the Fillory books, and they're like, oh yeah, they ruined it, they made them all skateboarding kids, and, you know, it's not accurate at all, because a girl that timid would never grow up to be the Watcher Woman. And Quentin's like, wait a second, the books never say who the Watcher Woman is. You've actually been to Fillory, you know that it's real, that it's all real. And Elliot does a reveal spell, and he finds out that, you know,
that guy has horns.
That guy has horns,
that
just like Ember. Okay, Dad.
And
it's
bing.
Bing, it's Umber.
Umber.
Who's been gone. who was presumably dead.
He had a tomb and everything.
Yes, he did. No, it was Ember's tomb.
Oh.
But then we see Juliet and Katie, and they decided that they need to essentially make like a giant storm in order to lure Reynard, and they're going to try and kill him.
That's stupid.
And then
why didn't they just put out some meat?
And then
he's a fox.
And then Senator Gaines.
Why would a storm lure Foxman?
Because OLU, whenever she shows up, that's always what happens on Earth.
Oh, okay.
So
but
Senator,
that sounds like they're luring
OLU. Well, Senator
OLU.
Gaines, they're going to fake that she's there, and he's going to go try and talk to her.
Right.
So Senator Gaines talked to Juliet, and he says, hey, do you think that you're going to be, like, broken forever? Like, what's up with that? And she's like, no, I hope not. I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, who I was before this and everything. And he's like, Julia, whatever happens, don't let him be right. And then he, like, mind controls her, and he's like, go get some pizza.
Pizza.
And then he mind controls Katie, and she's like, ouch, my wards! And he's like, I'm so sorry, but I know that you would agree with me to do this eventually. So he goes to go make Katie kill him. And then we see Alice and Mayakovsky, and Alice is writing down as many notes as possible because she's forgetting everything that she learned as a Niffin. So she's trying to record all the knowledge she had.
Very grumpy.
And Mayakovsky gives her, like, a lecture about how, you know, when you were a Niffin, you cared about nothing but your own life. You know, perfect life, but extremely boring and terrible. So now you're a human again, and you can experience all this stuff. And here's some Adderall. Write down some notes. Go crazy. Drugs are fun. And then Julia comes back with pizza.
This seems to be the whole message on this episode.
Go crazy, drugs are fun.
Well, Josh got everybody stoned, yeah. And then Mayakovsky got her stoned, and
it happens.
This show is a bad example.
Okay.
For my daughter.
Okay. But then Julia comes back with pizza, and Katie comes down covered in blood. Wah, wah. She's been traumatized. And they, John made her do the ritual to collect his energy, and now he's dead. Wah, wah.
Yep.
Sucks
Thus
for him.
Ends the
Thus
most boring plot line.
Yeah. And then Penny finds the book they need, and he goes to find Sylvia, and she's reading her own book, and he notices that he's, like, starting to get rashes and boils, and Sylvia's just covered in them. And then we see Umber, Quentin, and Elliot. And Umber is taking essentially screening questions. He's like, I'm making a new world. How do you feel about turtles? Indifferent. And so he's like, I made this pocket world, calling it Cuba.
So wait a second. He essentially, you know what he creates?
Minecraft.
Wrong. He creates Bizarro World.
No, because Bizarro World has, like, chaos and stuff in
it. Bizarro World is just backwards world.
I know, it's backwards, but that's...
It's like in the shape of a cube.
I know.
Then he says, I'm going to call it Cuba, and they're like, that's been taken.
It's already a place.
Yep.
But Umber reveals to Quentin and Elliot that they were never meant to fix Fillory. Fillory is ruled by Ember
chaos.
And Umber, chaos and logic, and Ember is the only one there anymore. So
it's all chaos.
It's all chaos, and it can't be ruled. And then we see Sylvia and Penny, and Sylvia tells Penny to leave her behind in the poison room because she read her book and she's going to die. And if Penny tries to help her, then he's going to die as well.
And that's why reading is bad for you.
Dad. So then Penny travels back to the physical kids' cottage, and he's like, I got your book. And then he, like, passes out.
Yes.
And it's this so begins
the end of Penny.
The beginning of the end for Penny.
Yes.
And it sucks because I love Penny so much. So
meanwhile.
Meanwhile, in Fillory, Josh and Tick and Rafe are all trying to figure out how to get Josh to the fairy realm, you know.
And then?
Prince S shows up and he's like, where the fuck is my dad?
He's a rat.
Yeah, he's a rat, man. It's fine. So he summons Ilario, and Ilario murders the two guards.
Yeah,
that
I
are
thought
with
it
them.
Was Rafe and
no,
the other guys.
No, why would it be Tick and Rafe?
Because it looked like they got killed.
Why would Rafe be dead and then
well,
come back?
They can't. They can't kill the best character in the show.
Yes, they
next
can.
Next to Todd.
Oh, God.
The best character in Fillory.
Oh, God. Okay. But then we... So they run off. Then we see Quentin and Elliot and Umber, and they're having, like, a little bonfire moment, and... You know, Umber's talking about how Ember has always been fucking with Fillory, and, you know, he made it so only the sexiest animals could talk, and, you know, he made up centaurs, and he's like, yeah, he's always wanted to turn people into rats one of these days. And Elliot's like, Ember cock-blocked me. And basically that filler was supposed to be this, like, telenovela, this soap opera for them to enjoy. And then Quentin once again shames an authority figure, and he shames Umber, and he says, you are the embodiment of, like, logic and order, so why don't you go and fix this fucking chaos that you created? Because you shut out a scared little boy and created this problem for yourself.
So pretty much what we're learning through this whole episode is that all the male authority figures have screwed up everything, and all their ramifications have caused trouble for everybody else.
All their ramifications, yes.
See what I did there?
I know. And then Umber talks with Elliot, and Elliot's like, please help me get back to Fillory. It's my home. And it's just really sweet. Umber's like, wow, you love Fillory. And he's like, yeah, I love Fillory.
Like, and he's like, nerd.
But Umber's like, he warns Quentin and Elliot, you know, Ember loves nothing more than a whimsical death. So,
watch out. We'll have to give him a whimsical death.
So, Julia, we see her again. She's made a magical bullet with John's energy. Penny's in the infirmary, and he's given off radiation, and they've got one shot to kill Reynard because they've only got one bullet. Then we go back to Fillory, and Josh...
Why a magical bullet? Wouldn't it be better to make a magical knife and then just stab them as many times as you want?
Gut him like a fish, one might say.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's fine.
All right, anyway.
but then we go back to Fillory, and the Lorians are trying to chop down the door, but, like, very inefficiently. So Josh makes he burns some smoke, and
he makes a magical bong.
Yeah, he drugs them, and so they sneak out, and he ends up seeing Fen being taken away.
Like a force ghost.
Another force ghost. And so he chugs the tincture that'll send him to the fairy realm, and he's like, Tick, tell my story. And then he disappears.
And that's the end. Then we never
end
see
of Josh.
Tick and,
we'll never see Josh.
Rafe again.
We'll never see Josh again.
Aww. How sad.
But then we see Julia and Katie, and they've created this giant storm to trick Reynard into thinking
that
it's all you.
And then they go, let's go hide. Yeah, and then they go stand in the middle of an open barn door.
I know, you can clearly see
them.
And Reynard comes out, and he's like, where the hell are you? I know you're here, you know, back again, blah, blah, blah. And Katie, so Julia goes around to get a better shot, and Katie comes out, and he's like, oh, Katie, I should have known. Where's Julia? And she's like, why don't you ask me where John is, huh? And he's like, what did you do? He's like, oh, he begged me to kill him. Ha ha, fuck you. And Julia gets on him with the gun, and she's about to shoot him, and then everything freezes.
And then they do the old eye trick again.
The old eye trick, and guess who shows up but Our Lady Underground herself, for real this time.
We saw her once already, though.
That was the trick version of her that Reynard appeared as.
I thought we saw her in the underworld.
No, that's in the books.
Oh, okay.
She comes, and Julia's like, why have you come here now? After all this time, all this pain, why have you come? And she's like, to spare his life. And I'm like, okay, fuck you then, honey. Like,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, they should have just shot him.
You should have just shot him in the head. Like, let's be real, guys.
Yeah.
You should have just shot him in the head.
A couple of times. They could have killed him a couple
And she's
of times.
Like, listen, Julia, there are consequences to killing a god.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Honey, and no. She's like, Julia, you're not a monster. You're a survivor. Which is like, yeah. Good job, like, good message, whatever. But, like, you know, no, Julia should have fucking shot him in the head. He's a rapist
right,
and a murderer.
Right, right,
you should have
right.
just
said,
shot him in the
you
head.
You said the one thing during the episode, which was, I am so tired of the trope of, if you kill somebody, you will be just as bad as them.
It's not, if your villain is, like, a murderer and a rapist, and killing them, it would make the world a better place, you should fucking kill them.
Yeah, but then you have to live with the ramifications.
Oh, the ramifications. But she... Oh, well, you unfreezes Reynard. She, like, touches his face, and then he shocks back into motion. I think she should have slapped him, because...
Yeah, slap
it's what he
good.
Fucking deserves.
Right. Does he ever really get a comeuppance in the show? Not really.
Not really. He loses his god powers, and that's about it. Yeah. And he still can't die, so it's like, what's the fucking point?
Right.
And so he's like, you left me. And she's like, well, I'm here now.
All right,
Mom went to go get some milk and cigarettes from the corner store 10,000 years ago, and she's finally back.
All right, so essentially they just disappear into the underworld.
And then Katie's like, mad about what the fuck's wrong with you? And Julie's like, it was the right thing. And like, no, I agree with Katie. What the fuck is wrong with you, Julie?
And then Katie storms off, and then
Julie in her gets place... her shade back.
Yes, her little shade.
Her little 12-year-old shade who Dad didn't recognize.
Yeah, because I'm like, who is that kid?
Some dark-haired girl.
Right. They could have put her at least in the same clothes. And that way it would have been easier to tell.
But they presumably merge.
And then the hole in her stomach is fixed, finally?
Yeah.
So she can wear crop tops now for the summer?
I mean, I would wear crop tops if I had a hole in my stomach.
If you had a big gaping hole in
your
stomach.
Hell yeah. But then we see Alice and Quentin, and
Feral Alice
is all feral.
Feral
and stuff.
Alice is grumpy.
And Quentin's like, you know, I'm sorry. I won't bother you if you don't want me to. I just really, you know, I want to say that the world's a better place when you're in it. And, you know, I'm not going to apologize for that. And say the word and I'll go. And that harkens back to one of my favorite lines in the third book, which is, no matter if she loved him, the world, any world, was better with her in it, Alice being her. And it's just like, yes, Quentin loves Alice so much, it's awesome. I love it. Yeah, but they're best friends. They're going to be best friends. Love. In the show, it's hurtful love. In the books, it's a little bit better, and they can be best friends.
I haven't read that
book
yet.
Where's my fourth short story? I would like a short story follow-up where they're besties, please. Thank you, Lev. Please.
Thank you, Lev. You write it.
No.
Write it. Send it to Lev. Let him edit it, and then he can release it with his own name.
No.
You can ghostwrite it.
No. It'll say Lev Grossman, little parentheses around the L.
By Lev and Ev.
No.
A story by Lev and Ev.
No.
Levin.
No. But Elliot and Quentin are standing in front of the Fillory clock, and they're like, what are we going to do? And Elliot's like, okay, here's the plan. We're going to find a way to stay in Fillory and not get kicked out again. We're going to do something about Ember so he doesn't kick us out
again.
Here's
the plan. You walk through the clock, and then you figure it out from there.
And Quentin's like, so you're talking about conquering Fillory. That's the same plan the Beast had. And Elliot's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, but
well,
better.
Well, do you have a better idea?
I would add.
No, it's better.
I would add Elliot go, yeah, but it's better. My plan's better.
My plan's better.
And to be honest, this little bit of plan is much more of a plan than what the Beast actually had.
Yeah, and also, to be fair, Elliot got kicked out because he was doing such a good job of being a king.
Yeah, that's no fair.
Yeah.
It's no fair to, like, not get recognition from your boss. All right. So anyway, their better plan would be to make Cuba.
Yeah.
Just do that. Just go on, move on to Cuba.
So what would you rate this episode of The Magicians, season 2, episode 12?
What would I rate this episode?
Yeah.
I would rate it... I had something really funny I was going to say with this. And I completely forgot. I should have wrote it down.
Well.
All right. Well, I am going to rate it a 5. Because there was lots of good plot development. They finally got rid of a bunch of annoying characters. They're on their way to killing off some other characters. And things are moving along. We get to see some very nice Alice-Quentin interaction. I like seeing Quentin with the spine. Mayakovsky is always fun. And yeah, I thought it was good. It was engaging. I didn't get bored. Although I'm really surprised they didn't show John's death on screen. Because that would have been very much in the manner of how they normally do things in this show.
Yeah, right? Maybe it was just too expensive.
No, I think they were, for once, showing a little restraint.
I know.
So, all right, what would you rate this show?
Also a 5 out of 5 crowns.
All right.
I really like this episode. I like their gay little road trip that Quentin and Elliot go on together. I love the little Fillory merch stuff. It's so fun to, like, pause
They
it
should have showed
more
of that, though.
It's so great.
We need a bigger screen TV to be able to really enjoy it.
No, we don't have one of those.
Well, if you want to support us and send us a big screen TV.
It's just a great time, and I really enjoyed it. And I'm very excited for the next episode. It's the season 2 finale called Have You Brought Me Little Cakes?
And then we're done with this show, right?
No, we have 3 more seasons.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, anyway, what's going on in the world of Fillory fandom?
That's what our
hashtag should have been. Fillory fandom.
Well,
anyway,
it's too late.
It is too late.
So right now, the Evermore event has just ended. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the collection.
Yeah.
And now, and also Femme/February is going on because it is February.
Right.
So you can participate on that. It's on Tumblr.
Have we gotten any art from hashtag Fillory and Father
fans? I haven't looked.
You haven't looked yet? Okay.
And also there's the Quelliot Bingo going around, which is essentially you fill out a form. Yes, Dad.
And if your life replicates something that Quelliot would do?
No, you fill out a form and then you get a bunch of prompts and you can write something that fulfills the prompts, or you have a story that's in progress that fulfills part of the prompts, and then you get bingo if you get a whole row of
stuff. You know, it's ironic that you say bingo, because my latest episode of the other podcast that I'm on, which is called Ludology, I actually talked about the creation of the game Bingo.
Well, that wasn't planned.
So if you want to learn about how Bingo and Yahtzee was created, you can listen to the Ludology podcast.
There you go.
All right. And synchronicity.
Yeah. And where can people find you?
Well, they can find me on the Ludology podcast, where I do a segment called Biography of a Board Game. Or you can also find me on Instagram and Twitter under Mighty Bedbug. You can find me on LinkedIn. Or you can find me on Facebook or Patreon under Scott Rogers Designer, where I make board game and write board game related essays and videos and blah, blah, blah.
When are you going to make a magician's board game?
I know, when they pay me to make one. I don't do IP stuff for free. I'm not a fan.
Okay, fine.
Not
I
a
hear
dirty
that.
Fillory fan.
I hear that dick.
That derision. All right, what about you? Where can all the other Fillory fans find you?
You can find me at @wow_ then on Twitter and at @fishyduaros on Instagram and Patreon, also under the name Evelyn Rogers.
Creating lovely fan art and animatics and whatnot.
Video games.
Video game. Well, that's in progress. Have you posted in progress? Do you have a playable demo yet?
I do not.
Okay.
Because...
What's your timeline? When's your release date?
I don't fucking know, dude.
It's always better to set a release date. And then you can market towards it.
I'm not marketing.
Are you going to charge for it, or is it going to be free?
No, it's going to be free.
That's very generous of you. At least the first one. First taste is free. Second one, the sequel?
The sequel.
That's when you charge.
Yeah, that's the one where it's just like a slice of life dating sim where you
Why not? Why not
play...
the Break Bill's dating sim?
Literally, honestly, that's a great idea.
Like,
what is it?
Monster prom?
Mm-hmm,
monster,
that my friend made.
Yeah, monster prom, but Fillory style.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe I will.
Maybe you should team up with that designer and make Monster Prom. Fillory Prom.
No.
All right.
I'm not.
Okay.
I don't have time to do that.
No? Okay. All right. Well, what do you have time for?
Time to thank
time
everyone
to go.
For listening.
Oh, yes.
To
thank everybody for listening. It was good.
Listening.
Good segue. And we love it when you review us. And
Please
when
keep
you...
leaving a comment.
Yeah, what rating? Where are we at now? 150 what? Two yet?
I don't know. It hasn't updated.
Oh, okay. We haven't checked. All right. Well, thank you for all your positive reviews and all your lovely tweets and messages. We love hearing from you.
And thank you for consistently downloading the podcast. It's
and
always very cool.
Share.
We have like 48 probably consistent people listening
awesome.
Now,
all,
which is pretty
we love
awesome.
All 48 of you. Consider yourselves group hugged.
Safely,
yes. Yeah, from a distance.
Yeah.
6-foot group hug. It's a big hug.
Big hug.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to us, and we will...
You
be
will...
back soon with more
Fillory
and
Father.
Hooray, we did
it.
Nobody died this time.
Well, next episode.
Maybe next episode. All right, bye.
Bye.